My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to be talking about a subject that I think that most people, really a lot of people, do not have a clue about this subject. And what it is just simply is this: who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? A lot of people have no idea who Jesus really is. I've been surprised over the years how people really, really hadn't thought about it. They just knew about him, and that's just about it. And they really didn't care about him, to be honest with you. Some think that his life started just at Bethlehem and where he was born, and that was where he began his ministry. And then some people think he was just a cuss word. How many people have you known in your life that uses Jesus' name constantly? And they don't think about it. They have no idea what they're saying. They just do it. I was involved with a man one time that every other word out of his mouth was using Jesus in a cuss word or slang. And he was a good man. He just didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Now, we have a lot of people in this world, the Muslim community, they believe that Jesus just was a great teacher. Just a great teacher. And then we have people who just believe that, yes, he died on a cross, but so what? Many other people did too. So how can somebody 2,000 years ago that died on a cross have any relevancy today? Well, most people have no idea who Jesus really was. They don't understand that Jesus was the manifestation in the flesh of the Creator God. The Creator God of Genesis 2 was the Lord God, or the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And the Trinity is the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which in total makes up God. All three are God, but all three have different things that they do and accomplish. God the Father used God the Son to create the heavens and the earth and all that was in it. And so we see that God Himself is the Spirit. But he works through God the Son and God the Spirit to accomplish all kinds of things and projects that he has for us on this world. God also being the Spirit, he used the Son to communicate with the creation. You see, God couldn't communicate with us. In fact, if anybody ever saw God, it would kill him. He is so powerful, it's beyond our imagination. So he used God the Son as the person who communicates with the creation that he created. That Son of God would take on a body to walk with man. And he would have different names like the Lord God, Jehovah, I Am. And down the road we'll see it'll be Jesus that he used to communicate with the people here on this earth. Let's turn to Exodus. That's the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And we'll see what he was called at this time. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We will find, we're going to start on verse 13. It's the second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 3, verses 13. It says, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of our father has sent me unto you. And they will say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto him, to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he saith, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. So he used the word I am, and it was reverenced by the Jewish people for most all their lives as far as that's concerned. Now let's look at what it says in the New Testament. We're going to turn to John. To John chapter 8. We go clear back to the right in your Bible into the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to start at 54. John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 54. And Jesus answered, he said, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet he have not known him, but I've known him. If I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you and like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The Jews were so angry when he called himself I am, they picked up stones to stone him. They would have done it if they could have got away with it. But he slipped by them. Let's look at what it says in John. We're in John now. Let's go over to John chapter 14. Just go to the right. Just 12, 13, and 14. We're right here. And let's look at verse 7. Jesus is speaking. He says, If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. It sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been such a long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And listen, this is what it really gets you. It says, The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, and he doeth the works. This was Jesus speaking, and he was talking about actually the Son of God. No, really, it was. I'm wrong. This was the Son of God speaking, and he was talking about the Father. But the Son of God was named Jesus, so he was. This literally, Jesus wasn't saying anything. Every word that Jesus spoke, or every word that the Son of God spoke, was spoken by the Father. And the works that Jesus did, or the Son of God did, they were works were done by the Father. So you can see how the Father is involved in everything. Even though you can't see him, he's there, and he was living in Christ at that time. And he was doing the works for Christ. He was actually speaking for Christ. So who is Christ? He was the Son of God, and the Son of God is the Father also. So this is fantastic. So we see that he came down on this earth and walked as the Lord God. The Lord God, when he came to walk on this earth. And we see that we know that he walked with Adam and Eve. He walked with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, remember, walking in the Garden of Eden in the mornings, they would visit. They had perfect communications. You see, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, had no sin. They were totally sin-free, and their spirit was free to communicate with the God the Son, or the Lord God at that time. And so he communicated with them. He also came and communicated with Cain and Abel, we know. He talked with them. He told them that they were to bring a sacrifice once a year. You know that Abel brought the sacrifice. It was a lamb, and it had to be killed, and the blood was put on the altar, and God accepted that. But Cain, he brought it grain offering, because he was a grain farmer. He said, well, this should be just as good. God rejected that. I mean, you know that made Cain very upset until he actually killed Abel. But God communicated with these folks, and he did it through a person walking on the earth, which was the Lord God. And we so also know that he communicated with Noah. When he came to this earth and he looked what was going on, for 1800 years, the people had turned their back totally on. There wasn't anybody on this earth that wasn't full of sin and just continually living in sin. The only righteous person he could find was Noah. And he told Noah that he was going to destroy the whole world. He grieved him that he actually even created them. And that Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, they built an ark. And it took them 100 years. And I know that God walked with them. He was an architect on this boat that they built. And he was the one who dealt with them the whole 100 years. And so we know that he walked with them. We know that he walked with Abraham. You know that. He went to, when Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, he brought him out of paganism, complete paganism, and told him that if you do as I tell you, I'll make you a great nation. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted righteous for that. And he proved he believed God when he actually offered his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. But he would have killed him if it hadn't stopped him, if God hadn't stopped him, because he believed God. And of course, we know how he dealt with Moses all the way through Moses' life, even down through the Red Sea, opened up the sea and they walked through it. Even the fact that we went up into the mountain Sinai and got the Ten Commandments and brought it down. And even in his walk in the desert, he was always communicating with Moses. So who is Jesus? Well, who is Jesus? When Adam sinned, God made and provided a way of salvation for man. So God started the practice of the sin offering. And sin was so serious that it called for death. Death of an animal. And it had to be a perfect animal. You see, this was just showing something that would come along down the road. But sin was so bad that something had to die. And so they had, for all the way from Adam, all the way to the time of Jesus, they were doing this, or supposed to have been doing this. But they had to have a perfect animal. So once a year, they required that the head of the family would bring a calf or a goat or a sheep to an altar and kill the animal, and the blood would be burnt on the offering. And this was done from Adam to Jesus' time. However, this burnt offering only covered sin. It didn't totally pay for the sin. It didn't totally pay for the sin. So God decided to provide an offering that would pay for all the sins from Adam to the last person on this earth. God would take his only son, the Son of God. The Son of God would give him, and he would give him a human body. And because he had to have a human body, because God couldn't die. And he had to have a human body, and of course this human body was going to be called Jesus. And he would die and shed his blood for the sins of the world. And the Son of God's human body was named Jesus. You see, the Son of God would have to take a human body because there was one thing that God couldn't do, and that is, he couldn't die. He couldn't die, and he had to have a body that could die to pay the sins of the world. And that's why the Son of God took on a human body and came to this earth to die, to pay the sin debt for each and every one of us. And that human body, we know, was named Jesus. And he was going to be the sin offering. He had to be perfect. And the Son of God could be only one that's perfect. And he was perfect. And he had to be born of a virgin. Because he had to come, and his Father had to be the Holy Spirit. You see, mankind, the man in the world, passes down the sin of Adam. So we're all born with sin, but the Son of God wasn't born with sin, because his Father wasn't man, it was God. And thus Jesus was born. He was sinless, totally God, and he would die for the sins of the world. So who was Jesus? The salvation of the whole world, from Adam to the last person on this earth. He was going to die for the last, all of us. How can we appropriate Jesus' death to the cross? How can we appropriate that death of the cross for our salvation? In other words, what must we do for our salvation? What must we do for our salvation? Let's turn into our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to go back to the right. Back to the right, to 1 Corinthians, we go to Romans, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This verse, you've heard me say it before probably, but I continue to say it, is the most important verse in the Bible for the body of Christ. And you see, that's what God called out. That's what the Lord Jesus called out. And when he set aside the Jewish nation and he called out what he called the body of Christ. And this body of Christ was going to be totally different than the Jewish nation that it was. The Jewish nation totally rejected Jesus as their Messiah. He totally rejected Jesus as the person who came to fill the Abrahamic covenant. And they did it, and in doing so, they literally killed him. Obviously, they rejected him. And so God set them aside, and he's calling out a whole new group of people. And it's called the body of Christ, and that's what we are today, if we believe what he tells us to believe. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15. Now, Paul wrote this, and Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was appointed by God himself to be the apostle to us, and we are Gentiles. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile, and he appointed us. This is to us, and it's also to the Jews. This is the only way of salvation for mankind today. Ever since Jesus died on that cross, this is salvation for the whole world. And Paul is taking this verse, and this is a letter that he wrote. This is a letter. In Corinthians, not a book, it's a letter that he's writing to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church has already been grounded on what Paul calls the gospel. It's the gospel for your salvation. And they've been grounded on it. When we start reading this, you can understand. It says, moreover, brethren. He's talking to believers. Paul never speaks to non-believers. He's talking to believers. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is the gospel, not a gospel. This is the gospel. He says, which I preached unto you, and which you have received, and which by ye stand. We stand on this gospel. And he said, and also by which you are saved. You want salvation? This is it, friends. This is the only way that a person can be saved today. This and become a member of the body of Christ is believe this gospel. This is salvation. This is what we all seek for. And this is just as clear as a bell. A fifth grader could understand this. It says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. This isn't a head knowledge. This isn't head knowledge. For many, many years, I believed that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. I believe that. but I didn't believe it for my salvation. I have been taught ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper that my salvation was based on my putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. But that's not the gospel. It's close, but it's not the gospel. We are to totally put our trust in this, and it's got to be a heart thing, not a head thing. He said, For I have delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. This is the gospel that he received. Now keep your fingers in this where you're at right now, and we're going to turn over to Galatians, just a chapter, two chapters over. And we're going to go to Galatians, just a few pages, Galatians. And we're going to go Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. We're going to see where he got this gospel. He says, "But I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached by me is not after man. For neither was I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." This gospel was presented to him by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is for salvation. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're at verse 3. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to Scriptures." That's the gospel, and that's what we have to believe for salvation. You see, the gospel here isn't believing in Jesus. It's believing in what he did. You see, it's what he did. He died for our sins. He was buried to prove that he was dead. And he arose again. If he hadn't rose again, we'd still be in our sins. But it's what he did is what saves us. It's not who he is. It's what he did. And that's what we're supposed to put our trust in. And most people in this world have been taught totally different because they've been blinded by Satan. And Satan knew that if he could get people to look to Christ for salvation instead of what he did, he would be the winner. No one will go to heaven by looking for Jesus as their Savior. It don't work. You look to what he did. Because if he hadn't died, we'd still be in our sins and we'd be totally lost. Totally lost. Now let's look and see what happens next. This is tremendous. Let's turn to Ephesians. We're going back to the right again. Galatians. And then we go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth." The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. "In whom also, after you believed what? The gospel. He said, "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You see, the world thinks that we're saved because we believe in Jesus, and then we have to work to be able to get the Holy Spirit. Wrong. We believe the gospel, and the second we believe the gospel, and God knows if we believe or we don't or not. He knows your heart. He knows your thinking. He knows your future. He knows your past. And when you totally believe the gospel for your salvation, he will seal you with the Holy Spirit. And that's salvation. That's salvation. Because that proves that you're saved because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And most Christendom have no idea the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is beyond our imagination. It's a spirit that lives in us. It's a spirit that rejuvenates our spirit so we can communicate with God. He opens our eyes so that we can see. and understand the scriptures. He actually is in our body to point us totally to God. It doesn't make any difference if you're have drug problems, if you have alcoholic problems, if you have lying problems, if you're a thief, or if you have pornography problems. It doesn't make a bit of difference, because when He comes into you, He's going to change your life. And the people that are in the places where they deal with people that have drugs and trying to get them rehabbed, they find that the only way a person can be rehabbed from drugs is that Holy Spirit in their life. And it'll do it for you. It'll literally pull you away from those things and point you to Christ. And you can walk away from those horrible habits that we've had in our life because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says about it, it is sealed. We're sealed with it. What does that mean? That means we'll never lose our salvation. God living in us. What does that give us, license to sin? No, we don't want it. We won't want to sin. Our whole being will be dealt with looking to follow the Lord. It's just a whole different lifestyle that He will point you to. It won't happen overnight, but little by little He'll pull you out of the problems of the life and point you to God. And you'll be so thrilled when you open up the Bible, you can truly understand the Bible. You'll spend hours in the Bible, not minutes, because you truly, truly love, you'll know the love of God is in you. And this here, what it says you're sealed, and it says it is the earnest of our inheritance. The inheritance that we're going to have with the Lord is beyond our imagination. I don't have time to talk about that today, but our inheritance, and this is the earnest, the down payment, and that's sealed to the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that is in you now, was the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And it'll also, when you die, it'll raise your mortal bodies also from the dead. That's the Spirit that's in you, and it's sealed, and you'll have it for eternity. You'll have it for eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that You have opened the minds of the people that are listening today, that You'll open their minds and their hearts to these words, and that they would truly believe the gospel for their salvation and be filled with this Holy Spirit, and that their lives could be totally changed. I just pray that this day, the very day, will be time when they will come and they will truly believe the gospel. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.